Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, The Road to Creativity, part of the Podmatch Podcast Network. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. We are celebrating those wonderful manifestations, those resolutions, those promises that you are making to yourself, those commitments that all take place during the month of January. And that's basically when you say, this is the year it's going to happen. This is the year I'm going to push forward. This is the year I'm going to be a published author. This is the year my work is going to be out there. And a lot of times that's as far as we go. We just say that, like, oh, this is going to happen, and then it never happens. Or it starts to happen, then runs out of steam. But then there are those times when you just really kind of push yourself through and make it happen. And sometimes it takes a dare to get things going. And that wound up being the first step for a monumental journey that our current guest, Julie Rowe, has gotten herself into. Because after being dared to get her work out there into the world in 2011, several years after that dare was initially sent, it was put into fruition. Her first book was published back in 2011. She had gone on to teach workshops for over 10 years in various forms, including creating your own swag for your own books. And she also has a writing exercise to share with us, as well as some very exciting news that I'm going to let her share with us right away, right off the bat. It is my great pleasure to introduce my guest this week, Julie Rowe. Julie, how are you?
I am absolutely great. It has been a really busy holiday season, and I'm so excited to get back to work.
Yes.
Because I have a book due to my editor next month.
There you go. So you got the book that's due to the editor, but you also have something that I just want to kind of lead with on this, because one of the things that we authors always like to say is, this is the year that something big is going to happen with my writing. And sure enough, something big has happened with your writing. Would you care to share that news?
Yeah. So I have one of my books. It's called Viable Threat. It's the first in a series of five. It's bioterrorism in the United States. And NBC has optioned that book for a television series, for a series. So I should hear by the end of January if they're going to shoot a pilot.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. This is something that we all strive for. It's just that feeling of, we all obviously want to see our books in bookstores. We want to see other people picking them up, enjoying them. We want to see ourselves signing copies with a big line of people and everything, and speaking at different events about things. But this is the next evolutionary step forward when it comes to our writing.
Yeah, it came as a shock to me, too.
Yeah. So if I may ask, how did this come to fruition?
So I wrote a book.
Yes, that is phase one. That is phase one. And that's something that too many people overlook. My work's going to get out there. Where's the work?
How many people say, I'm going to write a book, and they start and they write 30 pages.
Yeah. And that's, and then it winds up in a drawer. And that's it. Yep. I'll credit them for writing those 30 pages. But at the same time, it's just like, if you want to get past that stigma of being the, if you don't want to keep calling yourself an aspiring author, then you got to put in the work. And once you put in the work, then you can retire that aspiring tagline on there, and you can be an author, but you got to put in the work. That part of it is kind of required.
Because back when I made that, when I was dared to write my first book, because I said, I read one that was horrible and I said so, and they were like, I dare you to write something better. Well, it took me a year and a half to write 50,000 words that were crap. like absolute garbage.
Yeah.
And then I took the next 10 years figuring out how to write a book. Took a long time. I have to say that the one thing, it doesn't matter what you're writing or how old you are when you start, but there's only one quality that will make you successful as an author. And that is persistence. That is, do not give up. Get your butt in the chair and your hands on your keyboard or a pen and paper, however you like to do it. Mm-hmm. Write the words every day. Write the words.
And the only one who can say that you're a failure in this is you.
Exactly.
Because if you say, I failed, and then stop writing, then yeah, you failed. But if you keep on consistently putting that work in, then you'll never be a failure. Because it's only when you stop, that's when you're a failure.
Ernest Hemingway, I hope I can swear on this podcast.
Go for it. Hemingway, bring it on.
Hemingway said that a good book should feel like you should feel like shit when you're writing it, because it should wreck you emotionally. You really do have to do that, because that's what connects you to your reader and the reader to the story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it isn't supposed to be pretty, and it isn't supposed to be easy either. It should be difficult. It should be a challenge. It should be something that you may have to struggle with on a daily basis to make yourself write those words. And it isn't until you scare yourself and make yourself cry and angry that you realize you're finally getting it out on the page.
Yeah. Yes.
Hard to do.
Absolutely.
It is not an easy thing. A lot of people don't have the courage to do it.
Yeah.
And that is something that you've got to learn. In fact, it's the thing that I had to learn, that I learned last before I finally found a publisher willing to take a chance on me, was that emotional part. I can write action, great. Dialogue, fantastic. Emotion, no. Took me 10 years to figure that part out.
Yep. And it's funny because, like, it's the first thing that we carry with ourselves into this world is emotion.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, like, how do you properly dramatize that?
How do you dig it out of yourself and then see what it is and then translate it to page? So that is what my writing exercise that I want to share with you today is about finding that those things that are important to you deep down in the back of your head that you maybe aren't thinking of consciously.
Yeah.
But they're back there and they're part of your story. But if you can figure out what it is and consider to use that to create more interesting characters, more interesting conflicts, more interesting events in your story, man, the power in that is immense, immense.
Yeah.
And it's a very simple exercise, but it is not an easy one. And it's called Ask Yourself 100 Questions. So set a timer for 30 minutes, put up a blank document in your word processor, and I want you to ask yourself questions, yourself, the universe, God, whatever you like. Questions about what you want answers to. I don't care. I want you to write them as fast as you can. That's why you set a timer for 30 minutes. Try and write them in that 30 minutes. Don't self-censor. Don't try to fix the spelling. Write them as fast as you can. Mm. I guarantee one of the questions will be, when am I going to get to the end of these stupid questions? I've actually had a few people write more than 100. They got into it so much that they just kept going. And that is great. You go for it if that happens.
Nice.
But 100's a good number to shoot for, because it lets you get into the flow. Because when we're creating a story, we're not using our frontal lobe all that much. We're using our emotional state, our hindbrain. And I want you to get back into that. And I want you to be serious about these questions. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to put them away and then look at them the next day. Mm. And I want you to look for trends. Like, are you asking about certain subjects? So sometimes, and what I mean is, you're looking for themes that are here. So sometimes you get, I've had a few, and I do this, I run most of my students, no matter what course I'm teaching, through this exercise because it really helps consolidate the themes that their book is going to be about and the kinds of characters that those themes work with.
Hmm.
So if you're writing a book about redemption, somebody who has screwed up in the past and is now trying to be redeemed, they're looking for that. They're trying to make things up to people, whatever. But you'll see a lot of questions about justice and do people deserve second chances? And if they do, what would that look like? Is it fair to do this or that? So you're looking for themes. Sometimes people write books about the little guy who eventually beats the big guy.
Yeah.
And the question, you'll have questions about how individual rights matter against large corporations, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So look in the questions to see the trends. What are you asking about? Are you asking about your family? Are you asking about your country? Are you asking about the world?
Mm-hmm.
And once you sit down with those questions and you can look at them and then put them away for a few weeks and look back at them, you start to see the things that really matter to you that you didn't even understand or was able to articulate before, because now they're in front of you in the questions. And what's really fun with this is that I tell people, instead of making a New Year's resolution every year, write another list, because your questions will change. Your things that are important to you will evolve over time. And so what matters to you 5 years ago probably isn't quite the same as what matters to you now. So every year, being a writer, writing yourself those a new 100 questions really helps you focus on what's important to you as you're writing today.
Interesting. Really, and that would something like that would come in really handy with the part that I'm working on myself right now, because I'm in the middle of addressing all of the edits that my editor has put together for my sci-fi sports trilogy. And one of the things that she said flat out is there needs to be a newer beginning. And that is something that I would like to, I'm working on it now, obviously, but now it's just like, if I put together a list of different questions related to this main character, then I'll know where he came from at the beginning, what prompted him to want to get him on the path that he's on right now.
Yes.
And where he sees himself in the future, where he sees his family. And his whole thing is he wants to create a better life for himself, his wife, and his kid by being a part of the last remaining sport in America, which is the Gladiatorial Combat League. And he is in New York City, which is right where the main Coliseum is held, formerly Madison Square Garden. And he is working with the most renowned teacher in the industry. And so now he is on his way over to the gym for his weekly class. And he is just allowing the atmosphere of Times Square to consume him and just let him think, like, you know, someday that's going to be me up on those billboards. And so that's going to be, I'm going to be able to do this and I'm going to be able to do that. And he's very much a dreamer in that sense. And he does have what it takes to get there. But it's just like, will he get there, though? And something like this would definitely be a good way to kind of allow myself to kind of keep him centered.
Well, yeah. I mean, and so you've given a way to look at that exercise a little different. So I suggest, as an author, you write it, but you can get your characters to write the list, too. It gets you so deep into their head when you do that, that you're right. It can really help you focus on that character's deep desires, what he wants most, how he's going to get it.
Yeah.
And consequences. What if it goes wrong? What if it goes right, but it doesn't go the way he thinks?
What if he gets in and he gets what he wants. What if he gets in, he gets the people's attention, he works his way up the ranks, he wins a world championship? Or what if he gets in and he doesn't catch on the way that he expected himself to, and eventually he loses his stature? Or what if he gets in and he gets injured, and now all of a sudden he's got to deal with that? Or what if he doesn't get in at all? Then what? And do you keep trying? Do you keep going back and trying over and over again? Or do you just give up and walk away? And so what other options is he giving himself by doing that?
Yeah. I mean, sports is an interesting place to have the character working in. Because I just keep thinking of football and the number of people with concussion injuries.
Yeah.
And how it destroys their life afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, hell, my beloved Giants, like, is going in the way that they have and everything. We got a brand new quarterback who's already gotten two concussions. So it's like, what happens now?
You know? Yeah. Nothing good, really.
Right. Who knows? Who knows what the future is going to bring?
Yeah, it's a scary prospect. It's funny. I actually have a personal story I'd like to share that kind of goes along with that. I lived in a city called Fort McMurray in Alberta. I doubt you've heard of it. We were a bit famous in 2016 because a forest fire tried to burn us all to the ground. And we're way up in the north. There's no highway north of us. There's one road in and out. We're up at the oil sands with the nearest city, larger than about 5,000 people, is a 4.5 hour drive south with nothing in between. And we had a monster fire and we all had to leave. 90,000 people on one road. That didn't go so well. That trip out, I had 3 cats and my dog in my car. That trip out, I learned something very, very important about myself, and that was I can't and I shouldn't wait to reach a goal to make myself happy. I got to do it every day.
Yeah.
I have to do something to make myself happy every day, because otherwise, what am I doing here? Like, I'm going to make myself miserable for months to get one large goal done. And then what? Like, so now I do something every day that makes me happy.
That's great.
Sometimes that's as simple as meeting a friend for lunch. Sometimes it's working on a craft, because I like to make handicrafts. Sometimes it's writing. Sometimes it's something else. But every day I look for something to make myself happy.
That's great. And when you're happy, you can be more present in the moment, and you can be there for your family. And you can be there for others who may need you. Your focus at work is better. If you're not happy, then it can eat away at you.
And then you end up with nothing and you wonder how you got there.
Yeah, like exactly.
It can be a scary thing. Mm-hmm. I watched two guys roll past me. I had to get out with the dog and go pee in the bushes because we were driving down this highway.
Right.
And these two guys passed me in a car. The car was interesting because it didn't have any tires. They were riding on their rims. They had the radio cranked. They were having a great time. Windows are down and there's so much marijuana smoke coming out of their car. The people in the car behind them were getting high. I just thought, we're in the middle of a crisis. Our city is burning down.
Yeah.
And these two dudes are having a great time. I thought, well, I'm not interested in marijuana, but I wouldn't mind having a great time doing whatever I'm doing. So that's what I'm choosing to do now, is having a great time.
I like that. I love that. Just pick something that's going to make you happy. I love that. That's a great thing to have. That's a great thing to do.
Yeah.
One thing that's going to make you happy every day. Yeah.
What makes you happy? Celebrate.
Not just weekdays. It's got to be on the weekends too. No rest.
Like, really sit in the moment and enjoy what you're doing. We all work. We all have to put our time in at whatever job we're doing.
Yep.
But there are ways to make your life happy. Look for the humor in things. Look for the opportunities to say, well, I'm sorry, what can we do to fix it? That's not a bad thing to be doing either. Love it.
I love it. And one of the things that you said before that you really like to do is being a crafty person yourself. You've been able to pivot and add to your journey as an author by making swag. That's something that a lot of people are always kind of wondering, what sort of swag should I put on my tables? Because we all have our tables where
we do our books. And it's funny because everybody's got pens. Now, as an author, obviously, I have a pen problem. I like pens.
Yeah.
I don't know an author who doesn't collect other people's pens.
I've gotten a whole lot of pens over the years. And
we're just nuts for pens. But there aren't a lot of really in creative ideas out there for swag. Most of them involve a company that produces them for you, prints your logo on something or whatever. But I find when you make your swag and you tell them you made it, it has a really big impact on the reader, on that person that you've just connected with, because they take a look at whatever you're handing them and they can see that you put time and effort in. And that matters to readers.
Yep.
Like, they appreciate authors who don't just write a book, but they actually consider their readers too, and put time and effort into making something for them. So one of the things I like to give out as much as I can are bookmarks. Now, I make my own. Mm-hmm. I get my book covers. That's what I use. And I make them, get it done at a printing place that will do business card size, put your info on the back, a little word about that. And then what I do is I punch a little hole in it and I use a tassel and a charm and I turn that book cover into a bookmark. And I don't just every book cover, and I mean, I have more than 20 of them. They have a different charm that applies to that story on each one. So I've had people actually collect all my bookmarks.
Oh, that's fun.
Because they're all different. And so, and I had one lady who actually put all the charms on a charm bracelet. And I couldn't believe, no kidding. I was like, hey, I know where those came from.
And so were you just kind of inspired to do that for yourself?
Well,
so have like charm bracelets available?
I don't have charm bracelets available. That's something I might have to consider, but I really enjoy just making the bookmarks. And I don't know. I've got one. I know you're going to put pictures up.
Yeah.
So they're just little tassels with a charm.
Yeah.
And this guy, this particular one, it's a tie, like a suit and tie charm, because the main character always wears a suit.
There you go.
So, and I have military ones where I have bullet charms. I have police shield charms. I have so many charms. It's not funny. And that's a way to make sure people see those covers, each of them. And then gives the reader something to collect as well.
Yes.
And it's useful. Most swag should be useful, not just pretty, but useful. So I make about 3 different kinds of notebooks. And so I have notebooks for readers.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, it's a half a page. So 8.5 by 8.5.
Yeah.
And I make a pretty cover. I use a paperclip pen holder and I put one of my pens on the front. And then on the inside, I have a pocket where I put a couple of reading lists so they can actually keep track of the books they've been reading.
Oh, fun.
And you know where I get my notepads for really cheap?
Yeah.
Dollar Tree.
Really?
You can get a package of 3. They come in yellow, pink, and blue for, what is it in the States? $1.50? Yeah.
Wow.
So you can make just a handful of these. All you need is 8.5 by 11 paper to make a cover. And then put your notepad in there. Stick your pen with it. And readers absolutely adore notebooks because they write down their reviews in them. You've got a serious reader on your hands. They like notebooks a lot. And then I make notebooks for other writers. and mm-hmm. I put sticky flag notes in the pocket on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I will make notebooks for editors and agents and assistants with sticky notes in the pocket and highlighters included. So it depending on what event I'm going to, I will make a decision to make maybe one or two kinds of notebooks or just one. Really, really is
fun.
Just depends. Yeah. Cause nobody thinks of the of the assistant.
At the end of the day, like, we just have to come to the realization that we are authors and therefore we are choosing to be part of a very solitary type of occupation.
And think about it. Readers are somewhat solitary as well. Most of the really big ones are quite introverted and they say so. So it's amazing how when you go to an event, say like a conference, mm-hmm. reader con or something like that, if you're giving out swag to people who are usually introverts, you give them something to talk about and they don't feel anxious or self-conscious. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You were able to start a conversation because you say, hey, can I give you one of these? I went to an event in May and I basically walked up to a table and I said, hey, can I harass you? I have swag. And they're like, yes, come and sit. Like,
there you go.
It was great fun.
But oh, that's so much fun. Yeah.
When you have swag, man, it's a conversation starter.
Mm-hmm.
I also went to that same event and I took an old hardcover book and I turned it into a purse with my book cover on the front.
Mm.
People crossed the room to say, what is that? And how do I get one?
Nice. That's when you know you hit it.
Yes. Yes. And I told them the truth. I said, this was an old book and my old curtains that I cut up.
Love it. And that kind of reminds them that there could be some magic hanging out like over at their house.
Exactly.
That they just got to take a look at and start looking at differently.
Yep.
That's terrific. That is so cool.
I will send you a link
mm-hmm.
that you can share with your podcast listeners.
Yes.
That gives you a video tutorial on how to make a notebook.
Fun.
Yeah. Fun.
So look at this. You guys are getting tutorials. You're getting workshops. And you know, like, and you're also getting the realization that you don't have to give up on your dreams, on your creative outlets.
You don't. I don't have an agent. I've never had one.
Mm-hmm.
I got lots of full requests at one time, but they didn't know what to do with me. I was writing, like you say, I write bioterrorism because I'm a lab technologist and I enjoy tiny things that make people sick. Nobody knew what to do with that.
Yeah.
And when I signed a contract with Entangled Publishing, I signed a contract with a fairly new company run by women, went into it not quite sure how it was going to work out.
Mm.
But if it hadn't been for Entangled Publishing, I would not be looking at that option clause. The owner of the company formed her own production company with some really smart ladies, which is called Premeditated Productions. And so they are now going through all of the backlist to look for really great talent. Stories that could be TV, movies, whatever. They've got a lot of things coming out soon.
Well, that's really exciting. That is really exciting. I'm so thrilled for you.
I mean,
so say there was someone who was just kind of starting out, trying to figure out where they were going in life, what their path is, what their calling is as authors. And they approach you and they ask you, like, what can I do? What would be a good first step for me? What would you say that would be for you that you would recommend?
I would say write a book and then write another one. And the other thing that I think most successful writers do besides persistence is they are willing to learn all the time. So go to conferences and go to workshops and listen to what other writers, what other publishing professionals have to say, because often they can be quite inspiring and give you new ways of looking at things, new techniques to use. One of my favorite writing instructors Her name is Margie Lawson, and she writes, she runs an online Lawson Academy, which I teach for on occasion. Yeah, she's a psychologist, and she teaches you how to use psychology in your stories to create your characters, to create their conflicts, to help you find the motivations that are the deepest ones you can get. And wow, I learned a lot from her, Margie Lawson.
Very cool.
But yeah, learn from everybody you can and write and write and write.
And don't stop. Like, don't even get up.
Don't stop.
Like, you got work to do.
So join your writing community where you live. Yeah. Because we are solitary, but we need other people who think like us around us every once in a while to help us keep us motivated, to give us that gas that we need to light that fire and write the words, because it can be tough doing it all by yourself.
Yep.
And you shouldn't have to. Like, there's so many people who want to write and don't know, as you say, where do I start? And when I get together with new writers, and that's the question that they almost always ask is, where do I start? And I almost always say, well, what do you want to write about? What kind of person do you want your character to be? What problem are they going to overcome? Mm-hmm. What is going on in the world that concerns you and you would like to fix? The answers to those things are a good place to start.
Yeah.
The 100 questions, because that'll help too.
Yeah. Right? 100 questions. And where can my listeners find you on social media?
I have a website. It's Julie Rowe, R-O-W-E, author.com. Mm-hmm.
Julie Rowe, author.com.
Yeah. And I'm Julie Rowe, author on Twitter, and Julie Rowe, author on Facebook.
Excellent. Excellent. Are you on Instagram as well?
I am. I'm not very active there. I have to fix that.
I've taken the plunge myself on Instagram. Like, it's been just very inconsistent with my posting, but I was inspired by a friend of mine to go ahead and just commit to doing one post per day on Instagram. And so it's going to be, and it can be a post, it can be a story, it can be whatever, like, but just as, or a reel, as long as it's going to stay there and just keep everything going forward. So I hope that that's what all of you are doing. Take that time to ask yourself questions, whether it's through your own voice, whether it's through your character's voice, whatever it is. But the more you ask yourself of the project that you're working on, the more you're going to understand that project and the more you're going to succeed with it. So that is what Julie has done. I congratulate once again on getting that option. That is huge. And I'm really excited to hear what is in store for that project in the future, because I am just so excited for what's to come on this. And it's already proven to be one hell of a good January. So on that end, on the creative end, I hope that all of you are feeling the same way. I hope that you are asking yourself the questions. I hope that you are seeking out different ways to get your swag out there, seeking out different ways to put together that swag, and just constantly keep thinking of your readers. Keep on thinking of, be very cognizant of your goals. Keep everything moving forward and do not stop, because remember, only when the creative stops is when they are truly deemed themselves to be a failure. And I definitely don't want that. I know Julie does not want that. For the sake of all of us, just keep pushing forward. Just keep getting those stories done. Keep getting them out there. So for Julie Rowe, this is George Savoy saying to all of you, ever upward. And I will see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to hesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@hesgotit.com.